Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Welcome back. 51551 is the text now. Primary schools, we were discussing at the start of the programme, they've closed for the summer, and for the many working parents out there, it's the perennial problem of juggling work and children. It's hard, it's more complicated because of all the logistics. Liz Carolyn knows all about it. She's here in studio to share the school summer holiday pain. Welcome, Liz.
Morning. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Had a lot of response on the text already, as I'm sure you have, because you've been writing about this issue. This is your first summer of this, I believe.
It is, yeah. So, I mean, my daughter hasn't even started primary school. She's starting in September. She's 4 and a half. But our preschool this year switched to term hours. So I was kind of asking friends. I was like, oh, you know, it's closed for 9 weeks now. What's the plan? And they were like, well, you know, you're on your own. It's a fight to the death out there. You know, you have to try and find some way of getting through.
It seems to hit parents as a kind of a big surprise. There are people coming saying, you've made this decision. How do you not know this is happening?
I know, like, and I think we have this sort of, you have this sort of assumption as you're going through life that problems that are kind of systemic, problems that, like, there's 500,000 primary school kids in the country.
Yeah.
You would think somebody would have thought, you know, they're all off for 9 weeks, people get 4 weeks holiday, let's put something in place. But so they haven't.
Grown-ups have organised this for
the grown-ups. I know, where are the grown-ups?
Discovered them out there.
You know, and it's interesting listening to some of the texts that are coming in, you know, this sense of, like, us all having to kind of compete with each other. Or there was one there talking about, you know, non-working parents, then they feel like they're frustrated because they have to pick up the slack. But that's, it's right, all part of this same kind of problem, you know, like that person would benefit from their colleague not having to scarper off to pick up at 2 o'clock and drop off and call the grandparents and do everything. It's a systemic problem we're trying to get individuals to solve.
For you, your first summer doing this, you have a 4 and a half-year-old daughter. Give us a sense of the amount of time you spend coordinating everything, which is outside of your job.
Yeah, so I mean, I work for myself, so I'm pretty good at kind of keeping track of how long stuff takes. And I'd say kind of easy 30 plus hours so far on just trying to guess, you know, figure out what camps are on and how long are they on for, and then coordinate with family. Because I don't want to drop her off somewhere she doesn't know anybody. So we're trying to go with another friend and coordinate all of that. And then a couple of weeks ago, we got this very jaunty email from one of the camp providers. It was like, breaking news, your camp's being cancelled. A bit of a tonal mismatch there.
Are you serious?
Yeah. You know, so that was then trying to kind of scramble and find something else and what's available and all the rest of it. You know, and like, it's, you know, obviously it's a very fortunate position to be in, to be able to kind of access this resource, you know.
In terms of affordability. 757 euro.
So that's over the 6 weeks.
That's a 6 week.
So we're doing 6 weeks of camp. And I, you know, you're kind of paying 120 here or whatever it is. And it was only when I put it all together in a spreadsheet, I was like, that is a chunk of money to be able to go to work. You know, I think that's what this is about.
Particularly when the whole day isn't covered in the camp.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, today and yesterday she's in, I think, 9:30 to 1:30. I'm kind of looking at the clock ticking, you know, and in our household we're able to, you know, my husband's great. He has more flexible hours, and like, I'm drafting in a cousin. I've got fantastic in-laws. Just to say that on the radio, they're brilliant.
This is the co-op you've been writing about. The cooperative movement.
It is, you know, and kind of going in with families and friends, and we're kind of having to reinvent prehistoric, you know, market systems, you know, of like cooperatives and bartering and all of this to get it to work. And, you know, I just think if we had a bit more of a kind of system around it, you know, and I don't want to say other countries are better. Like, Ireland is a fantastic place to raise a child. But just sometimes it feels like the system, the world that policy imagines we live in doesn't match with the world that people actually live in. And it's not just childcare. It's also like, you go and get a mortgage and it's 3.5 times your salary, and a house costs 8 times your salary in Dublin, you know.
France is very well set up, though, isn't it? Because they really do prioritise children over there. They have shorter school term like ours, but they've provided loads of services and subsidies.
They do, and they
camps
do really,
and childcare.
They do really cool things around. So like, the municipality will organise camps, and you'll pay kind of based upon your income. So you also have the mixing of kids then, right? And, you know, kids who maybe couldn't afford to go to camps because they are also, you know, like my daughter today, she's doing this at gymnastics, trying to keep track of what she's doing.
There's one of her five different
one
camps.
One of the five different camps. You know, and that's brilliant for her. And it's a great kind of resource and she's entertained. Like that should be available to everyone, those type of things. But it's just taking a bit more of a systematic approach to it.
Do we have councils or state provision of summer camps in this country?
So when I was young, I grew up in kind of Walkinstown, and there was a thing called what was it called? My mind's gone. Like there was like the summer project that okay. was it, which I think is like, you know, schools or people can apply to the council for kind of funding for things.
Okay.
My friends who went to posh schools had never heard of the summer project, so I don't know if that's the kind of thing that's you know, like it's sort of seen as for one group of kids and not for another group of kids. It doesn't seem to be kind of universal, you know. And I was talking to a friend in Norway, and I was like, you know, the Nordics are great at all this kind of stuff. The good news is they're not fantastic. They still don't have anything for July, but around that, yeah,
I was like,
kind of a relief, you know. but like around that, they have what activity school they call it, which is put on by the state. So, you know, last week her kid was learning to code, you know, and they go off and kind of do something else. And that's provided for by the state.
By the state. We need to reinvent things a little bit here. I'm a retired childless primary teacher. I fully understand and support those parents who are frustrated by the holiday childcare dilemma. I don't think extending the school year is the answer. Children need unstructured play outdoors in the fresh air in the long days of summer as the children of my generation had. But can we turn back the clock? I think no is the answer because of working parents. Also, childless complainers need to be reminded it is those same parents' children who will be paying their pensions.
Well, we are a society, you know.
We are, yeah. You have to join. I remember years back, I picked up my kids from a national school at 12 o'clock on the day of the summer holidays. My son got into the car and said, "Mammy, I'm bored." It was a very long summer.
You should have seen my house by 9 a.m. yesterday morning. It was just, there was jigsaw pieces everywhere. There was, you know, there was colours everywhere, you know, and this was 9 a.m. the first morning, yeah.
Is your daughter enjoying the summer camp?
She is. We've been able to coordinate with other families, so she kind of just likes getting to go and hang out with her friends. And I do agree that children should be outdoors and screen free and all of the rest of it. But, you know, two parents work nowadays. It's how do we, you know, and I'm not asking primary school teachers, just to make that very clear. I'm not saying primary school teachers should be covering the summer. But where is the kind of structured provision for kids to be able to get their fingernails dirty or doing gymnastics or doing whatever else it is and letting parents go to work and non-parents have their parental colleagues
You're
turn
using
up.
Annual leave, are you, for some of the summer? You're going to invariably.
Yeah, I'm self-employed, so I've just had to turn down work to be able to kind of like adjust my hours. I was working till about 9:30 last night to be able to be in the park getting the dirty fingernails at 3 p.m. yesterday afternoon. I have tons of flexibility, and I think that's more probably that employers could do for people who aren't as lucky, you know, as those of us who get to manage our own time.
Another message, Brian says, make childcare costs tax deductible. It'll be a proportionate measure that should stay in place until the government pulled the finger out. Someone said, we have two primary school children and we, along with another family's two children, have a lovely secondary school babysitter, age 15, minding the four children for the summer holidays. It keeps them all busy and entertained.
Amazing.
And this puts
where do I find one of them?
Yeah, where do you find one of them? And the child minor can also switch, you know, also become ill and go on holidays as well, and
exactly.
also switch careers when they're teenagers and so on. Listen, you've got people talking about this sort of thing. In 10 seconds, is there an obvious place that could be fixed? One thing that you would fix about the whole situation?
A bit of joined up thinking, you know. I don't think anybody's, you know, malign and trying to enforce the patriarchy or anything. A little bit of joined up thinking within government. And let's just give families choice. If they want to stay home, if they want to go to work, if they want to figure out what's going on, let's just see how we can enable that.
Not a lot to ask. Liz Carolyn, thank you so much. Good luck.
From the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.